Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Please, we give God the glory, but God needs and uses faithful people. If it wasn't for that, there would be so many defeats in Israel. Amen. God used faithful people. God used a Samson. God used a David. King Hezekiah. God uses faithful people to get his work done. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? Can you say amen? The primary sending is the call and anointing of God. God's call to go, like he gave to Isaiah. Who will go for us and whom shall we send? But there's a secondary and imperative to that, and that is that God's people support the gospel and the ministry. The New Testament says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And Paul talked about if we invest in you spiritually, then it should be in order that you invest materially in the work of the ministry so we can continue to do that. Amen? That's what it's all about. I have never just represented Christ when I went anywhere in ministry or this ministry goes anywhere. I never feel like this is my ministry. Amen? Because without you, we can't make this tape this morning. We can't have it sent. I can't go to a hospital. I can't counsel over the phone. I can't do the things I need to do without your prayerful and financial support. So, you know, when we get to heaven, it won't be somebody heard me preach and or I shared Christ with someone in the hospital and they came to know the Lord. Amen. Like your husband came to know the Lord as we shared with him and asked him to pray with us. And I'm glad I could be there. I'm glad I could be here. Glad I wasn't working that Sunday so that we could be in that room with him just a few days before he passed away and lead him to Jesus Christ and have the full assurance that he's with the Lord because he prayed the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. And that's a prayer that God listens to. How many know when sinners pray, amen, for grace and forgiveness, and amen, God grants that so freely and so abundantly. Well, you're not investing in the material world, in just a building and a place to meet. You're investing in a ministry that touches lives for eternity. Therefore, saith the Lord, know when you give, you are not giving to something that will pass away, but something that is eternal, saith the Lord. As eternal as my word and my kingdom, yea, are the souls of those who are touched and reached because of the faithfulness of my people, saith the Spirit of God. I want us to pray today over this offering. I want us to give with an understanding and appreciation. And those of you that need to today, that need to set yourself in faithfulness to be a part of something that is consistently holding his standard and his name high, and please consider making that stand for Christ. We're mature Christians here. If you will stand together, you will yet see the things that I have promised. I will do all that I have promised. If you will stand together as one, love as one, work as one, share as one, I, the Lord, will work through you, and none shall stop me, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. I feel this so strong. I feel a sacred reverence. Because God is surely in this place. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to catch this vision, to see it clearly, to not be lax, to not look back, to not drag our feet now, to make the commitments that you can honor. Father, for if we're not faithful as a people, collectively, corporately, Lord, a few of us can't carry this vision. It's going to take all of us to do it. So, Father, everyone that's been touched by this ministry, that feels at home in this church, that feels the Spirit of God has been invested in them through it. Father, help them now to stand true to you and to honor you by standing by this ministry. Faithfulness makes or breaks covenant promises. When Israel was faithful, I stood true to my word to them. I stood by them. I sent angels to deliver. I changed weather conditions. I parted seas. I opened rocks and poured water that they may drink. I sent bread from heaven. Yea, there's nothing I won't do to perform my oath and my promise to my people, if my people will but be faithful to me, saith the Spirit of God. And there is no ministry where I find faithfulness that there will not be fruitfulness, saith the Lord. For I will not withhold the harvest from those willing laborers who will be faithful to my fields, saith the Spirit of God. Let's just... Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a call to prayer together. I want us to just stand again. I want us to pray together. I want us to pray together. The Spirit of the Lord is interested in using us and blessing us today. We will determine to what degree He can or cannot. To satisfied in this room, I would say God wants to stir you. I don't know what you think your grand purpose in life is. I don't know if it's getting a plasma TV and watching sports at home. I don't know what your goals are in life. I don't know where you want to go from here. But if you've lived on this earth long enough, you've found out that a bigger house won't take care of all of your needs. A better car will not take care of this sense of purpose in life. Amen. This life is passing. It's passing swiftly. Amen. We have become the people that we thought were the elders in our church just a few years ago. And now other people are looking at us through those very same eyes. Amen. We are becoming the brother and sister Hodges. We are becoming, amen, the brother Taylor, the brother Bob Taylor. We're becoming those that others look to for guidance and look to for stability and look to for faithfulness. How many know we had people in our lives that were solid as a rock? And it inspired us and encouraged us. But God wants now to make us such people. And you know why they were solid? It's not because they were stronger than we, greater than we, mightier than we. It's simply because, amen, that they made a commitment somewhere to be faithful to Jesus Christ. They didn't get up in the morning and see if it was rainy or sunshiny. Amen. They got up in the morning saying, I'm going to church and worship Him today. Can you say amen? They didn't get up, amen, and see how they felt. Amen. And test, you know, I don't know, what do I feel? They got up and said, I'm going to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And somehow or another, when you start getting a discipline born out of a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, you find yourself doing things that circumstances would keep you from doing without that same level of devotion. Amen. If you get up in the morning and test the wind and see how you feel and what the conditions are, chances are Satan is going to put barriers up constantly in your life. But if you get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'm going to go with my brethren and rejoice and be glad in. I'm going to feed my soul this morning. I fed my body all week long. Amen. Fed my emotions, fed my sensations. But this morning, I'm going to feed the eternal part of me. Hallelujah. I'm going into the house of God. And one of these days, God's people will say, I was glad when they said unto me. Let's go up to the house of the Lord. Can you say amen? Heavenly Father, bless this offering so we can continue your work, and bless this people with faithful hearts. Lord, those that have not committed, I pray that you will move upon them, that they will find something worth living for beyond themselves and their circumstances, that they will catch a vision that is bigger than their circumstances, Father, and that they can get their eyes off their circumstances, commit them to you, that we may pursue that is eternal and everlasting. everlasting. In the name of Jesus, and everyone that wants to live to a higher purpose than just living and dying said, amen and amen. Look at somebody and say, God is going to bless this people. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe He is blessing this people. Amen. Right now, I believe you're a blessed person. Amen. I believe God's been good to you. I believe if you count your blessings, you will see how good He's been to you. The fact that you're here this morning, God has been good to you. If you woke up in your right mind, God's been good to you. And if you woke up in your wrong mind, God's been good to you because He can help you get a right mind. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn with it to Psalm 46 for a little while today. And I mean a little while, so we got some ground to cover this morning. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. And let me read it to you direct out of the King James. We really don't need any other slant interpretation. This is so very clear. If there would be a title for this message today, it would be Words of Comfort for a World of Trouble. Say that with me. Words of Comfort for a World of Trouble. This psalm is a popular psalm among people and nations in crisis. And if you follow the history of the nation of Israel, God's covenant people, God's chosen people, you will find crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis. Amen. The enemy will not let blessed people go unchallenged. Do you realize that? If you've got a blessing on your life, it's going to actually draw fire from the enemy because you are a living, breathing advertisement of the fact that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can you say amen? If there's a blessing on your life, you can expect trouble. The early church was blessed beyond measure, it seems like, with such an anointing of the Holy Spirit, that first century church, that first Christian church. I mean, it was nothing to see a lame man come in the door leaping and praising God, having experienced a wonderful miracle. And they were not only blessed with these good events called the Acts of the Apostles, they were also blessed with all kinds of persecutions. I say blessed with them because it didn't hurt them. It didn't harm them. Paul prayed one time for a buffeting spirit that was causing him all kinds of trouble to be taken from him, a thorn in the flesh, he called him. Can you say amen? And an emissary from Satan to trouble him and to test him on every hand. Amen. But when he saw how God worked through the things that weakened him and God's glory rested on him in these times, especially through a special anointing, he said, I'll take pleasure in the things that I once thought was so very painful. Isn't that an incredible insight into the ways and purposes of God? Well, I see there's no amens coming from that, but I'm talking about Paul. He had come to the place, amen, that he said, I'm going to joy in the Lord, even when the enemy's trying to do me harm, because if I sing His praise at midnight, something's going to happen in my world. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise this morning. Let me read it to you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. We're going from this tempestuous sea that probably an earthquake has stirred up, that has cast down mountains and caused the waves to roar. We've gone from that to a peaceful river with streams that make glad. Isn't it amazing that in the midst of all of these cataclysmic events, there is a peaceful river flowing? Everybody say a peaceful river. Isn't it incredible how the scene is changing just because of what we know about our God? Can you say amen? And how we respond to His faithfulness to help us. Amen. We're looking at the last days, and it said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. Right now, they're talking about a fault in California, and another big one is due. And it's not due in San Francisco. It's due a little north of San Francisco now, where the epicenter would be of an earthquake that would be more devastating than any they've had because of the population in that state and the buildings in that state. The Bible spoke of the sea and the waves roaring. We just saw a tidal wave, something almost unheard of in our generation. Amen. Sweep away tens of thousands of people. It was amazing how that death rate kept growing and growing. When you thought it couldn't get worse, you turn on the TV the next day, pick up the paper, and it had doubled. Amen. So we live in a world that's unstable, and we live in a world that not just is shaking with the events like Katrina, amen, and other hurricanes, and we're moving into another active season. Isn't it incredible in the midst of the tempest? God said that for those that put their trust in me, there is a river, a peaceful, flowing, beautiful, crystal clear river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Anyone that can be glad in a situation like this when everything else seems to be shaking and crumbling has tapped into a faith and trust that the world knows nothing of. And if you want your witness to count, you've got to do more than be theologically accurate. You've got to find that peace for your life in the time of trouble. It speaks volumes to the world about your God and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no other God can do this for you. Amen. Call upon me in the time of trouble and I will what? I will sympathize with you and empathize with you. I will deliver you. Hallelujah. And you shall glorify me. Can you say amen? Glorify him by just giving him thanks and praise? No, glorify him. Amen. By trusting him and seeing his deliverance. When people see that in God's people, they will say, who has a God like our God? Can you say amen? Somebody give him a praise today. No God like Jehovah. And no Savior like Jesus. Say there's no God like Jehovah. And no Savior like Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the sermon I'm preaching this morning is not a uniquely Pentecostal sermon, even though this is a distinctively Pentecostal church. This is a sermon for God's people. Amen. Not just those of the Pentecostal bent or strain. Hallelujah. This is a message for everyone that will hear it that names the name of the Lord. This thing will pause. What I preach crosses denominational barriers because I do not preach some narrow gospel, but I preach about a great God and a great Savior whose name we know as Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Amen. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. This is all in defense of his people. He told Israel, I will give men as a ransom for you. In other words, if people try to hurt you, they're going to be slain. They're going to be destroyed. As long as you're right with me, no weapon formed against you will prosper. For this is something uniquely the covenant peoples. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. How many servants of the Lord do we have here? I didn't ask if you're serving perfectly. I'm saying how many people have a heart, amen, for his lordship and his government in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. This is uniquely ours. He maketh to cease, wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. Here's how he stops war. By defeating the enemies that oppose his people. There was a war in Israel some time back. It was one of the greatest, quickest battles that was ever fought to victory. And it was called what? The Six-Day War. Amen. Enemy came up against them. Amen. Their neighboring enemy came up against them. And in 6 days, their neighboring enemy was defeated. Incredible victory. In the Tampa Tribune, there was a snippet that said, amen, that the Israeli generals and captains of war met in their war room and they were using ancient strategies modeled in the Old Testament leaders of Israel when they went to war. Incredible! That's because the God, amen, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of the 21st century believer. He maketh wars to cease by what? By breaking the bow. By cutting the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. I told you it didn't need any interpreting. It's all here and it's clear. Words you're going to hear more and more is the word centered in the 21st century. In the wrong sense, it can be used of just focusing the mind or thought processes alone. You'll see this in a lot of the Eastern religions and a lot of meditation. Amen. A lot of people are going to chant their mantra. They're going to just get focused, or they're going to get centered. And the center most people are looking for is self. And that's exactly what God doesn't want you to be centered on. Can you say amen? There's a church called Calvary Temple. They've changed their name to Center Point because this term is a term that's contemporary to our society, being centered. Amen. There's a wrong centering. Amen. If you really want to get centered, you get centered in Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to this. I'm not criticizing that church. I'm just saying center is a term that is used that everyone in our, but it's all, most of the time it's used in the wrong way. We need to understand there is a centered for the Christian that can be used in the right way. Amen. In the right sense, it can be claimed by Christians as focusing on our God in the times of crisis or great trouble. Putting our trust exclusively in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Deliverer. In that sense, we need to be centered because He is the center point of the Christian faith and the center point of your faith and my point. Paul put it this way about being focused or centered, looking unto Jesus, amen, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Literally in the Greek, it means looking away from all that will distract. Everybody say centering. And looking to and setting your gaze upon Him. How many know every time you've ever lost a victory or got discouraged, disheartened, or deceived is because at some point something around your life has taken your sight from Him. And you get in church and what happens? Some preacher gets up by the name of Robert A. Venable on Sunday in this church and exalts Him above your trouble, Him above your family problems, Him above your physical problems, Him above your financial problems, Him above your mental problems. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you get centered on Him, you can go out of here with peace and power and victory. It all depends on what you're going to think about when you leave and who you're going to look to. Putting our trust exclusively in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Deliverer, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It's finding a place of peace and rest in the midst of a violent storm. One of the most remarkable truths about hurricanes is that each one has an eye in the center. Amen. We're going back into the season. Right in the middle of the turbulence and tempest, there's a place of calm and peace. The stronger the storm, listen to this, the more well the eye is defined. Everybody say, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Say it with me again. Don't fear the darkness. The darker the night, the what? The brighter the light. The more trouble in my life, the more relevance Christ has to me. I mean, He always has relevance, but I'm telling you, somehow trouble just accentuates that to me. Crisis, trouble, having someone to call upon. Look at me this morning. Folks, you can tell there are people that name the name of Jesus that are not centered in Him. Because any little thing shakes us and troubles us and takes our peace from us in the midst of the chaos, no matter what it is, cataclysmic events, earthquakes, tidal waves, mountains going down and waters boiling up, there is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. For God is in the midst of her. Amen. And she shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Amen. It's God's people rejoicing that's going to capture the attention of this world. It's God's people singing His praises and exhibiting His faithfulness that's going to captivate the attention of a fear-ridden world. Psalm 46 is a centering psalm. It instructs us and informs us to help us trust the Lord and find His peace and rest in the time of test and trouble. Comforted by Psalm 46, John Wesley courageously met the approach of death. He quoted it the night before his decease and was heard repeating its promise all through the night hours. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. The Lord is our refuge. He Selah'd all night long until night gave way to glorious day. Hallelujah. Psalm 46 has been designated as Luther's psalm because the great reformer who was accustomed to singing it in the time of trouble paraphrased verse 1 in his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." That's the inspiration. This psalm inspired that psalm. I want to read you what he said after reading Psalm 46 and meditated on it. Amen. See, it's a centering psalm. No matter what's going on, God is our refuge and strength. Doesn't matter what's going on. He is with us. Can you say amen? A very present help in the time of trouble. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not His equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask whom that might be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Can you say, man, you see the rest in it? There's still a stream, isn't it, in the midst of the chaos that makes glad the city of God. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Everybody say, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Say it again. Jesus. It's a little word, but it is Satan's defeat. Can you say amen? And it is our victory. Wow. First verse of Psalm 46 begins with the two words that are the foundation for all our faith and trust. God is. Say it with me. God is. Amen. God is. Say it again. God is. One of the great things that distinguishes the Christian is his belief in God, that there really is a God, one God, the only true God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that even if the Christian was alone in the world, an Adam without an Eve, or an Eve without an Adam, even if the Christian was alone in the world, he would still have someone to turn to, someone who loved him, someone who would fellowship him and help him in the time of need. That's because God is. Everybody say, God is. Jesus said, "He who's seen me has seen the Father." The world with a million fingers points toward God, but in Jesus we meet Him face to face. Here's the first important lesson of Psalm 46. God is. Faith begins with an acknowledgement of the reality of God's existence. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must believe that He is." And what did David say in Psalm 46? God is. Amen. How many know God is? I mean, you can put a lot of things behind it, but you can't put anything behind it until you get this in front of it. You can hook a lot of cars on this train, but this is the engine that runs it. Woo! God is. Every promise is hinged to that great premise. God is. You've got to believe that He is. The agnostic don't know. The atheist says He's not. But the Christian says God is. If it is wonderful that there is a God, and that life therefore has meaning and death need not be the end, if it's wonderful that there is a God, it's more wonderful by far to understand what He's like. Can you say, Matt? He just isn't is. There's not just a supreme being. There's a heavenly Father for the believers, one that can be known through His Son and by His Spirit intimately. Amen. God is. The God who is our refuge. It's not just a God sitting aloof in His heaven, but a God that responds to our cry and our need. Isn't that incredible about Him? God is our refuge. He is, the psalmist tells us, our refuge in the time of danger, our strength in the time of testing. Of course, He can only be this as we trust Him. as we trust Him. God can't help you unless you trust Him. If you won't cast your burden on Him, He can't take them from you. But if you'll cast your burden upon the Lord, the Bible says He'll sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Isn't that good news this morning? As we trust Him, and insofar as we trust Him, that's what we'll find Him to be, a refuge. Jehovah God, says the psalmist, is our refuge. As Christians, we can trust God as our refuge. Listen to this. Because bound up in His nature and character is the desire to provide safety and refuge for people like you and me. Especially in those times when we feel the crushing onset of crisis. There's an energy crisis right now. We don't know where the ceiling is going to be in gasoline. You're going to have to decide what's more important, going to church or going to the mall. And you will decide. And your values are going to come to the surface, and so are mine. Can you say amen? You're going to have to decide whether a new computer or gasoline so that you can worship God. Contacts, or just keep those brown eyes shining for Jesus. Amen? You're going to have to make some decisions like that in a society that cannot sustain the level of energy consumption. China is coming on 10 million on cars now in China. In the next 10 years, 75 million will own vehicles. Where's the oil going to come from? Amen. We're facing some serious issues. They're still preparing for a possible pandemic. If the bird flu ever goes from birds to people, then we are going to have something far more devastating than the bubonic plague, even with our modern technology. Amen. They had a scenario recently on one of the channels on television about a hospital in New York having 5,000 people show up one day, and many of them needing breathing, being to put on ventilators. There's not enough ventilators. There's not enough rooms. There's not enough cots. There's not enough beds. Crisis looms over this nation. Amen. We want to deny it with their head in the sand and try to act like it doesn't exist, but it does exist. Fulfilling the prophecy, men's hearts will fail them for fear and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. That's why this stream, this peaceful, clear, pure, heavenly stream that is flowing to usward is so vital, amen, to our victory and to our literal survival in these last days. God is our refuge. Can you say amen? Not government. God. Not big government, but a big God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the people that lived through Katrina found out that the government couldn't save them. Even with plenty, the weather people said, it's coming. This is a bowl. It's going to fill with water if it hits land with this kind of force. It didn't even hit land with the force they predicted, and it still flooded them out. They couldn't even get buses motivated by the county. The same buses that take thousands of kids to school every day couldn't be used to get poor people out of that bowl. City government can't do it for you. State government can't do it for you. Federal government can't do it for you. But God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. They found a black man in his 60s, amen, after a week. Up in the attic of a house where the temperatures, he couldn't get out. He couldn't get out of the attic because the water was too high. He sat up in that attic for a week and he praised God when they got him out. He was in good spirits giving God the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And isn't it incredible how that in those kind of times when everything is stripped from you, but the one thing that can really help and bring you through, and that's faith in a living God. Amen. But that faith can bring you through the crisis. God knows that when bad times come our way, sometimes we need what we need most is a place to flee, somewhere we can feel safe and catch our breath. One of the most beautiful word pictures concerning this truth is in Psalm 91:4, where it says, God will shield you or cover you with His wings. I don't know if you've ever watched anything on the animal planet to do with hens and chickens, but God uses them for illustrating His own grace and mercy provided for His people, extended to His people. Amen. Jesus stood over Jerusalem and He used that illustration of Psalm 91. He said, He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, you know, you that killed the prophets, stoned that are sin, how many times would I have taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks? But you would not. You wouldn't let me." See, the problem with trust today is not letting God. It's not that God refuses, it's that we won't let Him by trusting Him. When a mother hen becomes aware of a predator, a threat to her offspring, she responds by lifting her wings. Sometimes when it thunders, they'll do that. And in seconds, all the baby chicks disappear underneath them. And then, where once there was a doting hen and several cute little down-covered chicken nuggets, now come the now the predator sees nothing but one mean-looking mama who just dares him to take a step forward. She is a refuge for her children. There's a species of fish that opens her mouth, and all the little fish just go inside for a while and wait till the danger's past, and she lets them back out. Hallelujah. She's a refuge for her children. She is their protection. Now, eventually, the chicks will have to crawl out and face the real world again, but for a little while, nothing quite like the soft shelter of those wings, their mom's feathers caressing their heads, her warmth stilling their shakes, her heart steady beating, gradually calming their fears. And this psalm reminds us that God delights in spreading His protective wings and enfolding His frightened children. "Hide for a time," He says. "Get out of the danger. Regroup. Recuperate. Find new strength." But you don't find it by standing and quoting how strong you are. You find it by confessing your need for a protector and provider and going to Him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know the rest of that? The name of, that was your cue. You missed it. Here's your chance to get it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Well, you said safe. You could be an umpire for a World Series game. Safe. That means far above the reach of intended evil. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Psalm 57:1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Amen. Everybody say we need to regroup sometime. Psalm 59:16-17, "But I will sing of Thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of Thy mercy in the morning. For Thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 62:5-8 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people." And here's the permission I am glad that God grants me. Pour your heart out before Him, because God is a refuge for us. Pour your heart out before Him. That means you can cry unto the Lord and not get censured, because it'll be a lack of faith to say, "Oh God, I really need You." Isn't it amazing that people get so cocky and arrogant they think they can stand in their own faith strength and do what only You can do when You're in the covert of His wings? When what He needs is humility. Where do you have this great testimony? Under the covert of His wing. Where do you have this great victory? Running like a baby chicken to mama. Amen. It's not standing out there and ruffling up your little downy feathers and saying, "Bring it on, I got faith." No, it's getting under mama's wing and saying, "Bring it on, mama got faith. Clout. Mama got claws. Mama got a beak." It's amazing how we distort faith to accommodate our pride and our self-sufficiency. and how great He is. Somebody give Him praise today. All you baby chicks say, cheep, cheep. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad to be a baby chick. I'm glad Jesus is my mama hen. I don't want to be the hen. I want to be the chick that has somewhere to run. Praise God. I don't need to be the hen. We got preachers prancing around like a rooster. You've seen them. You know, they got this condescending, you know, you've seen them. Amen. They need to humble down. Amen. Bury their face up next to His feathers. Hallelujah. And know what real peace is and what real power, where real power comes from. Paul said, when I'm weak, that means under that wing, leaning on that downy breast, then, woo, am I really strong. Somebody give Him praise today. You're going to hear the other message, but this is God's message. Wow. Psalm 91, 1 and verse 21 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 21 says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Hallelujah. He is our strength. Psalm 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's not just our refuge, He's our strength. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things. I can face any crisis. Literally in the Greek, it says, I am equal to anything through Him who constantly infuses strength into my inner man. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? There's nothing, amen, that will build up your spirit like centering on Jesus Christ as your source and your Savior. And God is your Father. And that great mama hen raising those wings for you to run to. That's the willingness of God to help His children and protect them from the enemy. Amen? This psalm echoes this truth. God is our source of power for facing any battle of life. His book, Glimpses of God. I like this writer, Scott Walker. He chronicles the true story of the Harold family, a godly couple gone to the Philippines as teachers around the turn of the century, around the 1800s. The Harolds opened schools for tribesmen known as the Igorot people. Oh, I want to tell you something about the Igorot people. They're fascinated with big ears. They loved big ears. They did things to enlarge the lobes of their own ears. Some kids are doing it today. They want a huge thingy here. I thought, you just wait till you're in your 60s and you'll have one without. Anyway, moving right along. I'm approaching 60. Mine are staying pretty good because they were little to start with. Amen. But when they went to these people originally, and even into modern day when Lyndon Johnson was president, they had a shrine. Since they thought ears were some kind of spiritual something, they had a huge blown-up picture of Lyndon Baines Johnson. If you look at one, you see, looks like a taxi with both doors open. Can you say amen? And you know the picture? You ever seen the picture of Lyndon Johnson when he was holding his beagle's ears out like that? They had that picture. They had flowers around it, and they would come there as a shrine. They thought, there's a the leader of America is a very spiritual man. Even his dog is spiritual. It's incredible superstition. Now, while you're laughing, you're going to have to laugh at yourself before it's over. I just want you to know. Amen? That's why missionaries need to go to get rid of superstition and get us into reality. Mr. Harold combined his teaching duties with efforts to build roads through this region. The work was backbreaking, made even more difficult by the fact that there was no modern machinery. All they had was dynamite in their bare hands. So they'd blow up a huge section of rock, and then the Igorot people would move it piece by hand. One day, Mr. Harold rode horseback into the town for supplies, and he spotted a crate filled with brand new wheelbarrows. He couldn't believe his good fortune. He quickly bought them, loaded them on an old borrowed truck, and hastily bumped and banged its way up the rutted new roadbed. When he arrived at the base camp, he instructed the ignorant foreman to guard those novelties so they would not be stolen, and immediately drove back to town to return the truck. He retrieved his horse, finished his shopping, started back. It was 3 days later that he returned to the work site. When he rode up, he almost fell off his horse with laughter, because there before him stood the Igorot, energetically and enthusiastically using wheelbarrows. But they had never seen one. The Igorot foreman had assigned 4 men to each wheelbarrow. They would quickly fill the wheelbarrows to the rim with rock and dirt. Then the 4 men would each grab a corner of the wheelbarrow, grimace as they lifted it, and grunt and moan as they carried it on their shoulders to a ravine where the dirt was dumped. For them, a wheelbarrow was simply a large metal container to pick up and carry huge loads with. They had never seen a wheel, so they had never even considered using one. In other words, there was amazing power at their disposal as they struggled to build that road, but they never accessed it. And the truth of the matter is, and that's your turn and mine to laugh at ourselves, we're just as foolish when we worry ourselves sick. When I went through nervous exhaustion for 10 years and thought I was going to die, I look back on it and say how foolish I was to think that the enemy could prevail with a God such as this. And I got to know this God. Not just know how to preach about Him. I got to know Him. Amen. You can have a religion. It won't take the place of a relationship. How many know religion is an empty thing without a genuine relationship with the Lord? It's that relationship that brings peace. There is a stream, a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. Many times you and I are just as foolish as these tribesmen. When a trial comes, we attempt to carry that burden on our own shoulders. Then we should heed the instruction of this psalm and rely on the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? Jesus said that His power to Paul, in a sense, is made perfect in weakness. Paul rejoiced in relaxing his own efforts so he could draw on God's power. In 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. You're weak enough to hide under the cover. The last thing here in closing is He's with us. He's our refuge and strength. And He's present to grant that and give it. He's with us, a very present help in the time of trouble. It's not a God you have to get His attention. Not a God you have to call on or cry out to get Him to care. He's with us before the trouble came. He's with us in the trouble. And He'll be with us until the trouble passes and with us forever. Wherever you are, God is. Whatever crisis you're facing, God is near. He doesn't leave or turn His focus elsewhere. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." The Greek in this passage has 5 negatives. So it literally reads, "I will not leave thee. Neither will I not forsake thee." In other words, in this text, God emphasizes over and over and over again, He will not forsake us. No, never is the way it reads in many texts. No, never. Amen. In other words, don't even let your thoughts imagine for 1 minute that I would forsake or leave you. See, this is not a performance-based covenant. Amen. It's a faithfulness-based covenant. Hallelujah. And if you trust the Lord, He's going to be faithful to His covenant. Amen. Amen. You can't do anything to get God to keep His promise, but you can trust Him for it. Amen. He will not leave us to the mercy of those circumstances. Let me read this. This is good. Tony Hamill, you probably don't remember him. This is back in 04, in the early part of the Iraq situation. General Tommy Franks said of Tommy Hamill, "He's American to the core. Pride, perseverance, a sense of purpose, faith, love of country and his family. His story is riveting and relevant in our times as America fights the war on terror. That's what Tommy Franks had to say about Tommy Hamill. Last night I refreshed my memory with his story. Although I'd forgotten his name until recently, his story, his capture, his rescue, his town's faith, and his family's faith are so inspiring. On 4/9/04, Hamill and six other Halliburton employees were captured by terrorists in Iraq. That's when they were cutting off heads left and right. After an attack on their convoy, the terrorists demanded total U.S. withdrawal from Fallujah the next day. 4/10/04, Hamill is paraded before a TV camera as a captive. Further demands are made. All American troops must leave Iraq, or Hamill and others will be killed. A deadline is given. The deadline passes. 4/14/04, Kelly Hamill, Tony's wife, makes a plea for his life during an interview. She's 36, born and raised in Amarillo, Texas. She and Tommy have been married for 17 years and have two children, Thomas, age 14, and Tori, age 12. She, like her husband, is a person of strong faith in God. Everybody say, strong faith in God. 4/20/04, four of the seven captive Halliburton employees are found dead. /5/2/04, Tommy escaped from the place where he was being held. Remember the guy that escaped with his hands tied running down the road toward American soldiers? That was Tommy. When he heard what he believed was a passing American convoy, he identified himself to American troops and led them back to capture the terrorist who had held him captive. Somebody said, the tables turned. /5/8/04, Tommy Hamill returned to Macon, Mississippi, after a brief stay at a German military hospital. The whole town of Macon, it seems, showed up at one time or another in some interview on one of the mainstream news networks during Hamill's captivity. All of them testified to their faith in God and the power of prayer. The whole town of Macon, it seemed, was telling the whole world, there is a God in heaven who answers prayer when you call on him, no matter what the circumstances are. Here's what fascinated me. Macon prayed and God heard. Thomas Hamill was delivered from his captors. More than that, the tables were immediately turned and Hamill's captors were delivered into his hands. Mayor Baker, Thomas Hamill, his family, and the people of Macon gave God the glory in every interview. If not, God would have been relegated to the role of some nebulous, impersonal symbol of hope instead of the living, personal God of whom all Macon and his family testified. How many know that God is not a generic term? Amen. A figment of man's imagination. He is a living, personal, sovereign Savior. That's why Psalm 95 says, come let us sing for joy unto the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hands are the depth of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the God our Maker. For he's our God. We're the people of his pasture and the flock under his care.
Woo! Yeah. Is that you and your faith out there facing the enemy?
No! That's you and your God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Hallelujah.
Now here's something going to affect everybody in the room. This guy had to have a preacher's heart. Because when you get amens like this, there should be some changes in attitudes and atmospheres in life. When you sing songs of Zion up here, it's just showing your faces out there. After a while, people will question your credibility up here. If after church you look like old catfish that's been laying out in the sun for 3 days, I'm not talking about your breath. I'm talking about, amen, you may have been fasting. Amen. You may need a cert or a Tic Tac. I know I do sometimes, but I'm telling you, amen, I don't know, people were falling out at one point because, well, anyway, moving right along. In the name of Jesus. I've had preachers pray for me that needed a Tic Tac. But anyway, moving right along. God is so good. But Soren Kierkegaard once wrote a parable that told of a community of ducks waddling off to duck church one Sunday to hear the duck preacher. Have you got this picture? After they waddled into the duck sanctuary, the service began and the duck preacher spoke eloquently on how God had given ducks wings with which to fly. He pounded on the pulpit with his beak and said, "With these wings, there is nowhere we ducks cannot go. There is no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar high in the sky." Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. The duck preacher concluded his message by exclaiming, "With our wings, we can fly through life. We can fly." Anybody ever heard the song? They probably sung it in the choir. "I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky." That's why I'm not in the choir. Anyway, moving right along. More ducks quacked out. Loud amens in response. Every duck loved the service. In fact, all the ducks that were present commented on what a wonderfully convicting message they'd heard from their duck preacher. And as they left the church, they waddled all the way home. Hello? 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 You might even want to cry foul. Pun intended. But if we were honest with ourselves, when it comes to worship and faith in God, many Sundays we just wing it too. We believe we can fly until it comes time to spread our wings in faith and mount up. Trials come. We're supposed to mount up with wings. Even young men shall faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. You know what the word wait means? It's not about taking a number and waiting in line patiently. It is the word for a rope that has three strands that are intertwined together. The Bible said a triple-stranded cord is not easily broken. Can you say, man? It's getting so wrapped up in your understanding of God's goodness and graciousness and greatness and majesty and power, hallelujah, that when trouble comes, you mount up in faith and trust Him even more deeply rather than being shaken and disturbed by it. Those who waddle in should not waddle out. Amen? Not after a message on "I can fly" to people who clearly can. Amen? Wait upon the Lord, renewing our strength so that we can soar like eagles. Wow. Psalm 61 in closing says, "Hear my cry, O Lord, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." How many in here believe you can fly? Will you stand to your feet? This week has got to be different. Otherwise, you'll waddle out like you waddled in. You'll waddle back next Sunday. And all the preaching on waiting on God and mounting up will be in vain in your life. And it all depends on where you put your trust and where you keep it. And whether or not you stay centered. Everybody say, "God is my refuge. God is my strength." You need to shout it defiantly in the face of your enemy and in spite of your own weaknesses. It's not about how strong your enemy is or how weak you are. It's about how faithful He is. So declare His faithfulness. God is. Say it with me. God is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And when I'm in trouble, I'm very diligent. diligent. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Amen. Woo. See, when mama raises her wings, I'm going to run for shelter. Running for cover is not a lack of faith. It's how true faith operates. If you don't believe it, read the book. When victory comes, say it with me, when victory comes, my faith don't get the glory. My strength is not the issue. My God is the one who is praised. Somebody give him praise. He's everything. In him we live and move and breathe and have our being. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship him before I have to.